turn to the Word of God and the book of Zechariah, chapter 14. Zechariah, chapter 14, and reading from verse 5. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 5. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Especially verse 8, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Well, we have interpreted this passage, chapter 14 of Zechariah, as taking place after the close of the millennium. That is, when darkness comes over the world and the enemies of God once again attack the church. And then Christ comes to rescue his people. As we have at the end of verse 5, and the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. So after that gloomy day, which is called one day, which shall be known to the Lord, verse 7, not day nor night, then Christ will come for the deliverance of his church. In that day, as we have in our verse, in our text, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. It is when the church will be delivered and she will be restored to her former prosperity, but not only that, she will be brought to glory. As we have mentioned already, that is the view that we take, that this occurs after the millennium, so that this takes place in the future state of the church in glory. Now, of course, there may be some who view this passage as pointing to the millennium itself. And we would not be dogmatic with our own view. It may be indeed that we can apply this passage both to the prosperous state of the church on earth and to the future state of the church in glory. So each particular passage of this chapter can be applied perhaps to both the millennium itself or to the future state of the church in glory. So bearing this in mind, we want to confine our attention to this short text and think of a few themes we find in it. And first of all, we have the blessing itself, living waters. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. And that is the subject in the second place, the subject from Jerusalem. It is Jerusalem that is the subject of this blessing, or perhaps even the means through whom the blessing flows. In Jerusalem, or from Jerusalem. In the third place, we have the extent, and that is the waters go half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea, or in other words, east and west. How widespread the blessing is flowing. And then we have the continuance in the fourth place. In summer and in winter shall it be. In other words, it is perpetual, whether it's summer or winter. Whatever part of the calendar, figuratively speaking, we are at, the waters continue to flow. Living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. So the blessing, first of all, living water. Secondly, the subject in Jerusalem. Thirdly, the extent, it is east and west. And fourthly, the continuance, summer and winter. It is a perpetual flow of the blessing. First then, the blessing, living waters. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. Water is the symbol of that which satisfies us, symbol of life, giving delight. If you are really weary on a hot summer day, nothing is more refreshing than water. And nothing would be more valuable to the Easterner in that hot and arid region. And nothing could better convey the idea of blessedness than the image of a gushing stream along a grassy bank with waving branches of the trees above. And the travelers in that land would be parched from the scorching sun, and they would long for an oasis, and they would there quench their thirst and find refreshment to their weary bodies. Living waters shall go up from Jerusalem. Well, here is not just water for the thirsty. Here is living water for the soul. And, of course, this is a symbol or a picture of spiritual life, life by the Spirit. Living water. The Lord Jesus speaks of that living water. And it is spiritual life that He alone can give. He creates a new heart in us, so that we are no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We are spiritually alive, living water, life by the Spirit. And that was what the Lord Jesus offered to the woman of Samaria when He said to her, "If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water." Living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Here is spiritual life. And Christ is the source of that spiritual life we all stand in need of. And He Himself proclaims that in John chapter 7 and verse 37. We read, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.'" Our spiritual thirst will be quenched when we come to Christ. So it is life, eternal life and spiritual life. And when we think about the need of forgiveness, there is nothing more refreshing to a soul who is under the burden of guilt than to know how his or her sins may be forgiven. So Christ is the source of that forgiveness, that pardon that we need, deliverance from the scorching wrath, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. In hell, there is no opportunity to enjoy the streams of forgiveness. And no drops of water are available to cool our parched tongues. But now is the time. Salvation is offered to us freely. The waters of salvation, eternal life, and we are called upon to make use of this offer. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. And Christ is the way that we may have our sins forgiven. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So Jesus is the source of this life, spiritual and eternal life. And He is the source of happiness and satisfaction, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. In Him we have joy. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 3, "Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation." And so when we think of the spiritual pilgrim those who find this world to be a weariness, there's nothing more satisfying than to know that God is our God. Psalm 63 and verse 1, David there in the wilderness of Judah, saying, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. So what weary child of God is not longing to have that satisfaction that Christ can give? What better scene to comfort the heart than the one before us, where we have the spiritual Jerusalem? It is said that living waters come out, go out from Jerusalem, east and west. What a bounty is here. How widespread is the blessing. And that brings us to the second point, the subject in Jerusalem. Well, we read in Revelation chapter 22, and in the chapter before that, in chapter 21, we read of the new Jerusalem. I'll just turn to that briefly. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Well, that is verse 1 of Revelation chapter 21. So it is a new heaven and a new earth. And Matthew Poole calls this a new and glorious state of things relating to the church. So a new and glorious state of things with special reference to the church. And that is what we are thinking of, the state of the church in glory, or the heavenly state of the church triumphant. And we are told, a few verses, one verse down, verse 2, about the New Jerusalem. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. But moving on to chapter 22, we read there about the water of life proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, verse 1. So putting it all together, we know that Jerusalem is the symbol of the church. The new Jerusalem, we believe, is the glorified state of the church. And from Jerusalem proceeds these living waters, the water of life. Here, again, in chapter 22 of Revelation, it is the pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in our text, living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is that holy city, a picture of God's people. And a river is whose streams do glad the city of our God. Well, we know that Jerusalem is the people of God, and Christ is in his people. Christ is the source of this spiritual life. Christ is in his people, the city. He's in the city of Jerusalem. And so that is how we view the text, that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. Well, Christ is in Jerusalem. Christ is in his people. He is the source of their life and happiness. And the Lord Jesus told the woman of Samaria that the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well or fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And again in John chapter 7, the Lord says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, and he could have been referring to this scripture as well, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. But the Holy Ghost was given in a very plentiful way after he was risen from the dead. But the point is, the living waters, spiritual life, shall be in him. They are in God's people. They are in Jerusalem. They are in the living waters are in the holy city, the people of God. And so we are reminded that the supplies of comfort and happiness are found within, at home. We don't have to be in a certain location in order to be satisfied when the Lord himself by his Spirit is our joy and comfort. And you think about living waters, or thinking just now about the picture, the scene of waters going forth in abundant measure, providing the means of growth around its banks, and there's abundance of plant life and so on. There's fruitfulness. And Christ, by his Spirit, is the source of our fruitfulness in well-doing, in living a life of pleasing him. And I was just thinking how we're thinking in the context of Jerusalem, which is the city of God, the people of God. And the living waters go out from Jerusalem. So there's a emanation or a manifestation of this blessedness. And so the Lord's people, who are the spiritual Jerusalem, they are means of blessing. Means of blessing to one another. Because the spiritual life is in them, from Christ, in them, flowing out to one another. The Lord's people help one another. Paul says to Philemon in that letter he wrote, verse 7, he says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." So Philemon was known for helping the Lord's people, and that was a consolation to Paul to see that. So we're thinking of fruitfulness and comfort by means of the Spirit dwelling in us and making us useful in helping one another. Living waters shall go out from Jerusalem. And seeing the devotion of God's people is refreshing to one another. Paul says, "Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord." And so we believe, of course, that this means of blessing toward one another will continue in heaven, in the company of the saints. Being with the Lord's people in heaven is one source of happiness that God's people will enjoy in heaven. The love of the brethren will continue there. Continuing fellowship with God's people, comforting one another. Someone asked, you've probably heard it before, what is the love of the brethren? The love of the brethren is Christ in me, loving Christ in you, and Christ in you, loving Christ in me. And again, the Spirit. And life by the Spirit is the cause of this likeness to Christ. It's Christ and his people loving one another in the spiritual Jerusalem. And all of God's people are predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, to be like Christ. The Holy Spirit sanctifies us now. He's making us more and more like Christ here on earth. More and more dying unto sin and living unto righteousness. But at death, believers are made perfect in holiness, passing into glory. And that love that the brethren have to one another will be perfected in heaven. Someone once had a difficulty with another. And his friend said to him, "You know, the person you have difficulty with, you don't want to see him right now, but one day that person will be so perfectly, gloriously holy, you'll forget about all the difficulties you had with him." So the spiritual Jerusalem, what a place that we no doubt, if we're God's people, will long for, when there will be no more sin, but only the refreshing streams of grace, no more fiery passions of anger or ambition or lust or jealousy or pride. In heaven there will be nothing that defiles. There will be no hatred, but all will see eye to eye. There will be no divisions, no fiery storms. There will be no devil to tempt God's people and torment them with fiery darts. They will all be extinguished. Living waters will quench them. And no more state of trial, no more furnace of affliction. Now we are in a state or in a condition of trial. And in verse 9 of Zechariah 13, we read, "And I will bring the third part through the fire." It's a fiery trial that God's people sometimes feel they're going through. But then it will only be the living waters that shall go out from Jerusalem. The heat of the day is gone. At evening time, it shall be light. The day of trial and the heat of the battle is all over. As we said last time, the setting sun will reveal the splendor of the heavenly Jerusalem. And the living waters going out from Jerusalem will satisfy God's people. Half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. Which brings us to the extent. It is widespread, east and west. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. Well, briefly, the former sea is the eastern sea, the sea in the east. Which sea is that? Of course, that's the Dead Sea, geographically speaking. The Hinder Sea is the Western Sea. That is, of course, the Mediterranean Sea. And both seas, Mediterranean and Dead Sea, describe the limits of the Holy Land. Now, that is the extent of Israel going east and west. So it's a picture. It's a type of the promised land, the promised rest of God's people. It's a picture of heaven, in other words, east and west. And so the blessedness of God's people will extend spiritually east and west. In other words, to all of God's people equally. In other words, God fills all his people. He blesses each one of them. There will be no lack. Just as the glory of the Lord filled the temple, Solomon's temple, filled the whole house. So God fills all his people with glory and blessedness and comfort and joy. The church is called the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And it is Christ, of course, who fills his people. That is the way we at least can apply this verse. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea in the east, and half of them toward the hinder sea in the west. East and west, in every direction. No one will perish. All of God's people will be filled with grace. None will be left behind. None will be in a miserable condition. None will be half empty. They will all be full of the blessing of the Lord. They shall all be taught of God, we read in the book of John, chapter 6. And the Lord Jesus assures us, "This is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." And just as we heard in the prayer this evening, as it is written, "He that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack." All will be full. There may be different levels or different measures of capacity. Some may have greater capacity than others, but all the vessels will be full. All of God's people will be fully blessed, fully and forever freed from all sin and misery, and perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. Which brings us to the fourth point, the continuance. The blessedness will be perpetual. In summer and in winter shall it be. The living waters will never dry up. Spiritual life will never be extinct in God's people. Here on earth we have summer and winter. We enjoy the good aspects of summer, and we say to ourselves, well, winter is coming. The good things that we enjoy in summer are going to come to an end. Then we're in wintertime, and yes, there's the good things about it. It's not as hot. It's refreshing sometimes. But the hot summer is coming. But in the state of glory in the church, the heavenly state, there will be no fluctuation. The living waters will go out from Jerusalem in summer and in winter. And the thirst of God's people will always be quenched because the fountain is inexhaustible. The well will never run dry, so to speak. The living waters will continue to flow, whether it's winter or summer. The living waters will not dry up. If you imagine that summertime is about to draw nigh, well, the living waters will continue to flow. What will be dried up is the teardrops, and God will dry up all those tears. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So the tears will be wiped away, but the supply of grace will never go dry, drawing from the wells of salvation. The living waters going out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. The living waters will never freeze, but the warmth of that love and grace from God will go on, and God's people will always bask in the sunshine of his love. In summer and in winter shall it be. Well, we've just tried to point to the future state of glory that the church will be brought to. But, of course, the blessings begin here on earth. They start here below in our experience. Christ is the source of all of these blessings. He blesses us from heaven, but we experience it here on earth. We can't expect to enjoy the blessings in heaven when we don't begin to enjoy them here on earth. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. They are found in him, and so we are to go to him for these blessings." We're to pray for these blessings now and not wait till eternity to seek them. Because, as you know, then the door will be shut, and there will be no offer of mercy and salvation and blessing on the judgment day. So we're to seek these blessings now, the blessings of life and salvation by Jesus Christ. The gift of God is that spiritual life that Christ offers. If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Are we asking for these blessings? Are we asking for the gift of life and salvation by Jesus Christ? Spiritual life for our souls, a new heart, a new spirit. Are we crying to him, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me? Christ has what we need. We look to the means of grace. We need to look beyond the means. Simply reading the Bible, simply coming to a prayer meeting, these things will not save us. We need Christ himself. We need the spiritual life that he gives. Are we not beginning to feel that the world is like a barren wasteland? Well, the Lord is calling you to come to him, that your spiritual parched tongue may receive refreshment, may receive satisfaction, that you would be enjoying the cool shade of his grace and the living waters by his Spirit. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he says that the life that he gives leads onward to eternity, to heaven itself. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well or fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Life and fruitfulness by the Spirit leading you onward and more prepared for heaven itself, where all believers will enter that place where nothing defiles, to be with Christ, which is far better. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea, in summer and in winter shall it be. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.